Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's R-E-B-A-G.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Julian Morgans, and you're listening to What It Was Like, the show that asks people who have lived through big, dramatic events what it was like. So thanks for some of the responses to last week's episode. I got some very nice DMs and some generous emails, and apparently I'm not alone with my people-pleasing. Apparently it's a condition that many of you struggle with. So thanks for sharing. And thanks for encouraging me to share on this podcast. Maybe don't encourage me to share too much, though. I wouldn't want to be in danger of turning this into some navel-gazy show that's just exclusively about me and my neuroses. I don't want that. I don't think you want that either. And my producer, Rachel, she definitely doesn't want that. So today, we have a fun story. And that's it. That's all it is. It's just a fun story. This one isn't loaded up with meaning and lessons on the human condition. It's just a story that I saw, and I thought, that's funny. And now I'm bringing it to you on the podcast. It's basically a break and enter story. As in, a couple comes home, and they discover that someone's broken into their house. And then the story takes a sharp turn and things happen that just don't usually happen. The couple we're hearing from, they're from the US. Their names are Amanda and Tim, and I'll let them introduce themselves. And I just like the way that this story kind of subverts your expectations. You'll be listening to it, you'll see what I mean, and you'll be like, huh, I know what's about to happen. And then the thing happens, but in a way that you don't expect. And also, I just really liked Amanda and Tim. They're funny, they're a bit sweary, and I don't know. They just cracked me up. So, without any further talk, here we go. I hope you'll enjoy Amanda and Tim's short and sweet, surprisingly funny account of getting home to find that their house had been ransacked and what they learned about each other as that day unfolded. Amanda and Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So tell me about yourselves. Where do you live? What do you do for work? You know, bit of scene setting.
So we live in Portland, Oregon, and I work for a large hospital in the area, and I do administrative work for the finance department. Pretty low key.
And Tim, what about yourself?
I'm more on the like kind of blue collar side of the things. I am a forklift operator for also a medical supply company, but I'm more the, you know, grab the box from the racks, put it on the thing, move on to the next order. Way less pencil pushy.
Okay. And so I understand at a certain point you decided to buy a house together.
Yeah. So we managed to save up quite a bit for, you know, two millennials in Portland, Oregon. And it's pretty cozy. It's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. It's just perfect for us. Like, we don't need a McMansion or anything like that, but mostly what drew it to us was the giant backyard. Like, for the area that we're in, it is a huge backyard, and it came with fruit trees already established, like completely fenced in.
Can you tell she likes gardening? A little bit of a green thumb over here.
No idea.
So tell me about, you know, the first sort of hint that maybe something was a little weird.
So we'd actually had our wedding shower the night before all of this went down. Mm-hmm. And we still had the lease for another like 2 or 3 weeks at the apartment. So we let out of town family stay at the house so they didn't have to get a hotel or whatever. I drive over to the house. I pick up my sister and my aunt, got brunch, walked around, showed them a bunch of touristy stuff. And then we all headed back to the house at like 11:30. So the house was really only empty for about 3 hours total.
3 hours, 2.5 hours.
So we pull up, and on our car in the driveway, because we've taken my aunt's car, we see like a box on the windshield. There's a full bottle of cider and like a really busted up MacBook just all set on like the windshield of our car. And we thought, oh, you know, we just had our wedding shower last night. Our neighbors probably saw this and thought, oh, it was probably like some of their guests had lost some stuff. So they put it there to be good neighbors. So we walk inside, and we had just had the wedding shower the night before. So everything was kind of already like higgledy-piggledy in a mess. And we're just like, oh, yeah, you know, this seems a lot messier than maybe we thought it was. But I mean, there were many beverages consumed. Who knows? Maybe it got messier than we thought. So we walk in, and we're just like, good grief. You know, maybe this party went a little bit harder than we thought it did. And honestly, it's kind of ridiculous. But the thing that tipped us off was actually this giant vape, like this huge, bright red, just obnoxiously large vape cloud.
Like a tobacco vape, like just your chunky cloudy boy.
Like absolutely nobody who was in our house.
Yeah, nobody owned this. We're like, this is a new thing that has been introduced into the house.
And
like nobody has this.
Kind of like, well, that's very strange. We walk into the kitchen and a bunch of the cabinets are open. And there's just this guy.
It got weirder and weirder the longer. It's like one of those photos that AI makes where you look at it, and the longer you look at it, you're like, oh, that face looks normal. Oh, wait, no, it does. Oh, no, it does. Oh, no, it doesn't. It was just one of those situations where it's just a snowball of just us being like, wait, no, wait. No, wait, what's that? Like, just constantly, like the vents in the ground that go in, that like all
vents
meet at our central heating area. Like all of those vents were pulled up out of the ground, and we're like, that's
okay,
weird.
That is weird.
Like that, why is that there?
So we left the kitchen, walked down the hallway, and I like looked into the bathroom, and the mirror had been, and this is, it's like a half person sized wall mounted mirror, had been ripped off the wall and put into the bathtub. So Tim gets a little perturbed.
Aggro.
Reasonably.
Aggro. Just dude aggression.
Fair enough, Tim.
So we step out, and we're like, okay, to my sister and my aunt, who are still there with us. We're like, you know, somebody's broken into our house or whatever. You guys wait out here, call the cops, let them know that there has been a break-in. We're going to look around real quick. We'll be right out.
Also, I'd like to note, all of this was done with a lot less candor than she just, like, presented it with. Like, this was a lot of screaming and get the fuck out and something's going on and she's crying because now the house is, like, some damage has been done. Someone's been in our space. Like, and not to mention when she sends them out, the first thing we do is go into the garage. She goes into the garage, realizes that the Switch is gone, like the video games are gone, can't find them anywhere. And I'm like, great. So now somebody has extra touched my shit. And then I look on the ground, like next to
needles.
Like bunch of needles, just used needles with blood in them all over the wall. She found a tarp in the garage that was like covered in like piss. And one of her swimsuits
had been expressed in
expressed and
it?
So
he jacked,
he
off,
jacked off in the swimsuit.
Oh no.
Yeah
it was a lot of just wild shit that we're just continuously finding.
And then we go to look in what is our bedroom. And it's the only door, like interior door aside from the bathroom, that has a lock. And the door was closed. All the doors were closed. So we went to open it. It was locked. And at this point, Tim is like, okay, if anybody's in here, it's probably behind this door. And so he starts telling, you know, this person, you know, if you open this door, I won't be as mad if you make me go through this giant Ziploc bag full of keys.
Like, I have a bag of about 40 keys right now, man. Like, I can't do this with you right now, man. And it just kept getting worse and worse. And I'm just working through these fucking keys.
Like 30 keys. It was crazy.
God. Open the door. Nobody's in there.
We had a new hallway.
Well, we had a new hallway that was installed in the wall in the form of a man-sized hole that he kicked in from our bedroom into this room that we're sitting in right now.
What? Because he locked the door and couldn't figure out how to unlock. To get out. So he just
busted through the wall.
Uh-huh, like the Kool-Aid man. Yeah. And he goes out to tell my aunt and my sister, you know, no, this is like a very serious break-in at this point, like...
Yeah.
So he goes out that way. And as he's starting to walk out, I grab him by the back of the shirt and I'm like, babe, did you hear that? He's like, what? Did I hear what? It's like, no, did you hear that? Like from the crawl space.
Like it sounded like scurrying. And I was like, oh shit, there's something down there. And it's big enough that it's making noise that we can hear it through the fucking floor.
And we noticed that the hatch down into the crawl space, because it's literally just a like square of plywood covered with carpet with a handle on it.
Yeah. Like, is a crawl space like a basement?
It's under the house. It is called a crawl space because you can pretty much only crawl.
You have about 2.5 to 3 foot of clearance under there, and they're primarily used for like duct work and HVAC stuff to make sure that they
shit down there.
It's to hide all the stuff that makes your house is hot and cold.
Undercarriage of the house.
It is the undercarriage of the house. It's under the bed where you put all the shit you don't want to look at.
Yeah, really.
Okay, got it. Okay, cool.
So we lift that all the way off, and Tim had opened the box that we'd found on the car earlier, and it had these like really intricate knives, like they're probably something off of like QVC.
Yeah, but... they were like engraved, like they had like wolves and eagles and bullshit on them, yeah. And like they looked like really pretty knives, like they looked like they were probably not serviceable at all to be used as actual knives. But they were a little bit sharp, and they were very cool looking.
Yeah.
So he takes two of them.
So yeah, I went and grabbed two of the motherfuckers, and I went in the crawl space.
And I was like, okay, at least wait for 2 seconds so I can update the family. And I just lean out the window, and I'm like, okay, we think he's still in here. 2 seconds. And my auntie is just like, wait, what?
Sorry, you were saying.
Tim, were you nervous? I mean, you've just decided to crawl into a literal crawl space with knives.
I mean, yeah, obviously it's kind of a life or death situation at that point, especially when you've got like an unknown entity ostensibly in your house. You don't know what it is. At that point, I was flying by the seat of my pants, just like, I'm gonna do something about this. Cause I can't just not do anything. Like I have to, like my shit, our shit, our lives, all this planning, all this effort, all this like stuff that we've put into like getting where we are, like sacrifice, suffering, all this shit is culminating into some random fucking junkie breaking into my house and fucking my shit up. I don't think so. So I went down there and I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. Probably the most scared I've ever been. Like given the circumstances. And I just kept going down that tunnel. Like it's basically a tunnel and then you hit like a blind corner where you can't see on either side of that, but they go to the rest of the house.
Oh my God. So is it dark?
Oh yeah.
No, it's pitch.
The only light that I had down there was just the light that was bouncing off from like the hatch that was open, and the flashlight on my cell phone, which at that point I hadn't had opened.
Yeah. Because he had two knives.
Because I had two knives. I couldn't hold the phone. I didn't have a handy phone pocket in my shirt like I do right now. But yeah, I was terrified. And I got about halfway through this big tunnel. So I'm about 40 feet in. And I see like the reflection. You know how when light hits people's eyes and it's dark, you can see their eyes?
Yeah.
So I see the reflection and I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I drop one of the knives and I pull my phone out and click my flashlight on my phone on. And it's a fucking cat. And the cat is well-groomed, surprisingly. I'm like, wow, that's... What is this? Who is this? What is this cat? Like, whose cat is this?
Whose model cat?
Yeah, whose model cat is this? Who in the Louis Vuitton left their cat underneath my house? And it was wearing one of our dog's sweaters.
What?
And I'm like... that was the punchline.
Because we got these little chi mixes.
Yeah, so. they're chihuahuas, and so the any clothes that can fit them are small enough to fit like a medium sized cat.
Yeah,
and it was wearing one of their sweaters.
I mean, it sounds adorable.
It was,
and you know, like my fault for being so taken aback, because I'm like, what the hell is going on right now? Certainly it wasn't this cat that shot up all this meth in my house. But I dropped the knife and like pulled the flashlight out, see the cat, and then I'm like, oh, for sure there's somebody down here. Like, I'm not gonna play this game of let me hit the blind corner and God forbid, yeah, cat and mouse, fuck off. And God forbid this like meth head down here has already acquired one of the knives. I know he moved some up in this room that's back there.
Yeah.
So I played my odds there. I'm not gonna do this. I don't know what the fuck this person's capable of. So I put my phone back in my pocket, grab the knife, and then crawl my ass back out. Climb up, and I put the hatch back on, pile a bunch of shit on top of it to make sure that it can't just be easily opened. I'm like, baby, I'm going to need you to walk out of the house, like, right now. She's like, what? Wait, no, why? What? I'm like, I need you to go. We need to go. Get out of the... Please, just start walking. And she's like, okay, and starts walking. And as we get out of the house, her sister is on the phone with the cops. Like, we actually don't really know what's going on, but it definitely seems like there's been a robbery. I just scream at her, somebody's definitely still in the house.
Yeah.
And she goes, somebody's still in the house? I'm like, yeah, somebody's still in the fucking house, dude. And she's like, oh, okay. And tells them somebody's still in the house. And like probably what, like 45 seconds later, there was like 8 cop cars. Must have been a slow day.
Like
everyone.
8 of the big like SUV Suburbans. There's 2 canine units. And so we grab our dogs and like put them in the car with the window rolled down because there's these giant German shepherds and our dogs are like, what the fuck? And so they're like, okay, do you think there's somebody in your house still? And they're like, yeah, mm-hmm. There's, and then Tim goes, yeah, there's a cat in a sweater down there. What do you think?
The cop literally just kind of slow blinks at me. I don't exactly know what to do with that information. I'm like, there's a cat wearing one of our dog's sweaters in the crawl space.
With a person.
And I heard a larger thing than that cat move when I was staring at the cat. There's somebody down there. Please go and get them.
Oh my God.
We're going to take a quick break here for some ads, but we'll be right back with more What It Was Like.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
They go in the house and it's they've got their big cop voices on and they're yeah. You know, whoever's in here, you know, you need to make yourself known. We did also very conveniently leave out my little temper tantrum, which as soon as I heard him moving around down there, I did throw a toddler level temper tantrum and just went stomping up and down the hallway because I knew that's where the crawl space was, just yelling at him to get the fuck out of my house.
Fuck out of my house.
Fair enough.
Fuck you. Fuck you. My Fair house. Enough. No, my house.
It's not my best moment. But anyway.
It was sick. It was definitely the most upset I've ever seen her. For good reason. I am not downplaying that at all.
Tim, I love the way that you're like, yeah, that's my girl.
So we wait, and they're doing all this, and like we hear the canines, and they do their like alert bark or whatever. And we're waiting, and then finally, we hear the sound of handcuffs getting clicked in, and Tim goes, "Oh, I know that sound."
It's like, oh, there was actually somebody down there. Oh my god, holy fuck.
Like, oh no, it was real the whole time.
At that point, I just start pacing up and down the street. I'm like, I want to see what this motherfucker looks like. Show me this man's. Show me this man.
Yeah.
Like, who is it that was in my house?
So the man that they drug out of the crawl space is 6'4" and a half.
Very tall boy.
Very tall. Yeah. Covered in dirt. Because crawl space. And wearing my Christmas onesie. And I am 5'7" on a good day.
Yeah, that shit was stretched out to like his like elbows, like it was stretched the fuck out. Yeah.
Yeah. Must have had a wedgie from hell.
Your Christmas onesie.
Yeah. And so amongst all of the other just miscellaneous garbage that has happened in this short, you know, 45 minute period, I'm standing there on the street, and of course all the neighbors have come out to looky-loo because, oh my god, look at the new kids. Look at them. They bring some energy. We just got... Anyway. So he comes out, and I just... That's my onesie. Yeah. Really? It's my onesie. And the cop who has him by the elbow turns and looks at me and goes, you don't want it back.
and she goes, she always leaves this bit out. This is actually my favorite bit.
Oh, Lord.
She goes, I know that. It's the principle. And that shit sent me so hard. Like, I couldn't even be mad anymore because I'm like, nah, she's got it covered. Like, I'm just over here chilling, trying to calm the dogs down. Like, it's okay. Mommy's upset.
So they do all the booking or whatever, and they drive him off to jail, and one of the cops comes up. He's like, okay, here's your police report number. You're going to have like some of the biohazard people come in because there's biohazard in your house. And we're like, yeah, we know. Thanks. And then as he's about to walk away, he goes, oh, right. The cat's name is Spaghetti.
The cop said this, or the guy in the onesie said this?
The guy to the cop said, oh, by the way, the cat's name is Spaghetti.
It's funny because in court we got to watch the body cam footage.
Yeah.
And it's just him, and he turns and looks at the cop and he goes, I am on methamphetamine. The cat's name is Spaghetti.
It's like, yeah, no, that sounds like something somebody on meth would say. So yeah, sure. So whatever.
And we're like, wait, what? You didn't take the cat? He's like, No. Animal control will take the cat. Here's their number. The cat's name is Spaghetti. So we call animal control, and animal control says, well, do you have the cat in a carrier? We're like, no, the cat's in our basement where the meth head left it. And they're like, okay, well, we're not going to come get it. You have to put it in the carrier.
Like, what? Then what is your job?
Yeah, totally.
For 2 days after this whole rigmarole bullshit had occurred, I and my friend at the time went down into the crawl space and were attempting to get Spaghetti out of the crawl space. I went down there with a big ass blanket. We wrapped her up.
I also posted the cat's picture on Reddit and on Facebook.
We were trying to figure out whose cat it was because we obviously knew, like, it's too well groomed. She was too sweet. We're like, this is a nice cat.
Nice cat.
Like, she's very nice. So we're trying to figure out who it is. And then the dude, Ryan's family, or rather his stepsister or sister-in-law rather, reaches out to me on Facebook and is like, yep. Hey, do you still have Spaghetti? I'm like, yeah, I do. Who the fuck are you? She's like, can my grandmother, whose cat it actually is, come and pick it up? And I'm like, sure, absolutely, whatever. Yep. And the following day, grandma comes up, pulls up in like a Beamer, like SUV, super nice, like, and was dressed very nice, very put together woman.
A very stark dichotomy.
And to the point that I'm like, what in the fuck scam bullshit is going on right now? Did I just get scammed? Am I being scammed right now? Like, were those cops not real?
So
she comes in and asks me, you know, what happened, what's going on, and I explained to her, you know, your grandson's on methamphetamine, and she's like, well, how do you know that?
You told the cops
it's on the body cam. And I show her all this, the damage and everything that he did, and she's crying, and I felt really bad, like really, really bad, because it's just this nice old woman who's pulled up to pick up her cat because her grandson and her got into an argument and took her cat. And now she's like realizing all the shit that he's been doing, I guess. Like, it was very like cathartic almost to see, like, oh, well, yeah, obviously this man has people who care for him and they don't know what it is that he's doing. And so it was a very like weirdly wholesome situation. Like, it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad, if that makes sense. But to wrap that bit up, I bring her into the garage, where we were keeping Spaghetti, and I'm like, she's right over there, and she goes, Spaghetti, come here. And this fucking cat sprints at her and jumps into her arms like it was a chihuahua. And I'm like, yeah, that is her cat, like 1000%. Like,
that's cute.
It was very cute. Like I said, a cathartic experience, because I'm like, this is a very nice woman, and I have made her cry because of what her grandson has done to us. But she has her cat back, and that's nice.
Did this woman give you any indication of like what was up with the grandson?
Yeah, she didn't believe it at first, and by the end of it, all she basically said was, "Well, we're gonna have to send him to rehab," and that was like she didn't know what to do with what it was that she was seeing based off, like, you know, the aftermath of the house.
Well, and it's disappointing too, because I looked up his prior convictions, like his previous criminal records and shit. And he had been doing this since like 2012. Like,
he had breaking into people's houses?
He had gotten busted for breaking and entering. He got busted for trying to steal a car. Obviously. So he got hit with criminal mischief and destruction of property.
Okay.
But that was pretty much
and
it.
I think he got sent to some bougie rehab place in California because his family's
well deal.
Off.
He got a plea deal where all he had to do was pay us the restitution, and then he got a year on probation, 6 months of which had to be spent in rehab. And so he got to go spend 6 months in rehab in a very zhuzhy Tahoe.
Cool.
In California.
Yeah.
Nice. So. Sunny California. All right. You guys are still living in this house, right? Is it sort of sullied the vibe of the house, you know, or are you comfortable there?
For a while, it was still weird. Like, we'd hear a thump from a pipe downstairs, and both of us would just...
ears perk up like we're fucking prairie dogs.
Yeah. Just, you know, hair on the back of your neck stands up. And we both had some really weird dreams for a while, but...
I think the worst thing for me is just it made me generally a more paranoid person. Yeah. Like, I was already pretty paranoid about shit like that happening to me, but having it actually happen, like it, you bet I am checking the locks two or three times before I'm getting in the car and driving off.
Yeah. 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 I'm curious about what you guys learned about each other through this experience. You know, you're sort of watching each other in a moment of very anomalous crisis. Amanda, when you're watching Tim like crawl into the under your house, you know, what were you learning about him?
Well, I mean, it wasn't necessarily out of character behavior, first off.
Okay.
If anything, it was true to form. It was more of like, cool, even when there's like very real, consistent, probable threats, he's still just Tim and he's still just going to do what Tim's going to do. Like, constant, reliable, dependable, maybe not the wisest of choices, but consistent.
I am a muskrat taking on a rhino with full confidence, and I will always accept that.
That's, you know, I'd say that's impressive. You know, you want to be married to that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Tim, what did you learn about Amanda through this?
I mean, honestly, I knew how much she cared about not only her space, but like the animals, because the dogs were here too, like while this man was here, like, but the space, the animals, like just the protection of the house and home. Like we always say, you know, it's not happy wife, happy life. It's happy spouse, happy house, because it takes two people. Like and nobody's going to be improving themselves in a relationship if they are the only person that has to be taking on the burden of improving the relationship, you know what I mean? Like even when it comes to the small things, but this was one of the first times it was more life or death. And I've never seen her in that kind of situation. And I think she handled it like really well.
Oh, thanks,
because babe. it could have been a lot more chaotic than it actually ended up being.
Well, I think that's really sweet. I mean, it's kind of brought out admiration in both of you. It feels like a all's well that ends well conclusion to this story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it ended the best way it like could have.
And from what I've seen, he's still sober. Like he hasn't gotten arrested for anything since.
And like, good for him.
Good for him. I hope that was like the kind of the tipping point. I hope that was maybe the thing that shook everything loose and got him set straight.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It's possible that he's doing another podcast right now about his like bottom of the barrel moment that set him on a path of sobriety.
I would honestly love to hear like, his perspective at some point.
And then this crazy bitch upstairs starts stomping around and yelling some wild shit at me.
Really freaking my cat out.
This guy was chasing me with knives?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
well, guys, I've absolutely loved this. And thank you so much for
great
your time.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Tuffery. It was mixed by Jimmy Saunders, who also did our theme music. Evie Atkins is our intern. Our cover art is by Naomi Lee Beveridge. And this whole thing has been a Super Real production.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.